Hi, this is Bob Papa, voice of the New York Football Giants, and this is the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast.
Good evening. Welcome back, Giants fans, to the latest edition of the Big Blue UK and Ireland podcast. As always, in association with Andy's Man Club. Lads, it is okay to talk. This time we are 75% British, 25% Irish. But as usual, we are 100% Giants. We're getting mocky again tonight as we bring you our one and only full seven-round Giants mock draft later this evening. Plus, as usual, we'll bring you the latest roundup of all things Giants, including the team's first meeting of 2024. A little bit more on that shortly. That's how we're doing.
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, 4-7 round, it's like, which is always good fun. And then, like, you know, more than anything else, a week from tonight, boys, it's going to be live, real, happening. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. I cannot wait. 1 week away. We're definitely at the business end of this sort of draft process type thing. You know, a lot of GMs talk today. A lot said nothing. A few little bits here and there you can pick apart. But yeah, really good to be back on with all four of you, all the three of you, the four of us. So let's have a good one.
Kev's saying double with one of us by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
No, it's good to be back on. You know, less than a week until we're all probably heading up, getting ready to bless the man cave once again with our presence. And yeah, there's still a lot to go. We hopefully should have a little teaser of the draft Bible tonight, and that will be out on Saturday. And there's also the announcement that we will release a second edition for anybody who has donated on draft day itself with any updated mock drafts and Jordan Reed's top 500 prospects, is it, Shane? I can't remember how many bloody 400 prospects. So, yeah, still lots going on in the background, still lots to do, but we're still working our way through.
Yeah, it's that Shaquille O'Neal meme, isn't it? Like exciting times, you know, Yeah, this week coming up is huge for us, and you know, there's been a lot of work been put into putting that Bible together. I mean, I'll hold my hands up; very little of that credit goes to me. So, to the three of you guys, you know, you've done a stellar job. So, I'm looking forward to seeing the finished article, and yeah, looking forward to next week. Obviously, this time next week we'll probably be on the beers already, getting set up, ready to go live at 11:30. But can't wait for that. But also looking forward to tonight as well. As usual, let us know your thoughts if you're watching and questions by dropping them in the comments, and we'll do our best to get them answered. If you're listening along on your commute to work or the day after or in a few days' time and have any thoughts or anything on tonight's pod, you hit us up on X, on Facebook, on any of our social media platforms. Let us know what you think. And there's some few other things coming up later on as well that you can let us know your thoughts on. Yeah, we're a week away from first ever draft night live stream. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see in the bottom right hand corner of the screen, there is a QR code. Give that a scan and it will take you directly to our Just Giving page that we've set up. We're fundraising some money for our partners, Andy's Man Club. And we've got a few goodies to give away next Thursday evening. Craig, what's up for grabs? And what do the viewers need to do to get involved?
Yep. So like Dan said, just scan the QR code in the bottom right-hand corner and donate however much you want to donate. There's no judging or anything. I know times are hard and they have been for a while now, but you know, anything that you want to give, then please do. As part of the donation, you will get a free copy of the Draft Bible once that goes live on Saturday, as long as you have given us your email address. You can either put the email address in the donation, or you can send us a DM on X, or you can just email us. Our email address is in the description of this video. Every pound that you donate will give you an entry into the raffle to win a prize. You can win a maximum of 3 prizes in the raffle, just to make it fair so people don't go hell for leather and try and get hundreds and hundreds of entries just for themselves and try and win all 10 prizes. The prizes include a £250 gaming chair from our friends at Trust. We have a woolen Giants logo wall hanging, podcast t-shirts, £25 vouchers from USA Sports, a copy of the College Football 25 game that's being developed by EA Sports upon release, a draft hat, and much more. So if you have donated, thank you very much. If you have donated and you haven't left us an email address or DM'd us, please make sure you do. I know there are a couple of people. And if you donate in the future, we appreciate it. All donations will shut off at midnight on draft night as well. So just bear that in mind.
Echo everything you said there, Craig. You know, it's a great cause that we're raising money for. And every little helps. You know, a pound is a pound more than they didn't have. So, you know, it's fully appreciated. And any donations that can be given, you know, we love you for it. So thank you. Also in the description, you can check out all our social platforms and you can check out our merch store as well. If you got a little bit of extra cash and you fancy some podcast merch and fancy, showing us some love, in the week before we go live on draft night. To kick things off this week, as usual, it's our roundup of the latest news and rumors. Shane, it's your turn to be up first this week. What's going on?
Yeah, so it's just following up on, I think, at least one of these we mentioned on last week's episode, and that was signings that we made last week. Three faces are going to be joining the Giants in East Rutherford, and first one is going to be veteran wide receiver Miles Boykin. He's, I think, the one that we spoke about last week. 6'4", 220 pounds. He's 27 years old and was originally selected by the Ravens in the third round of the 2019 draft. He was claimed off waivers by the Steelers, in 2022 and spent 2 years with them. He's predominantly been a special teamer in his career, but has appeared in 73 games, having 25 starts, recording 38 catches for 498 yards and 7 touchdowns as a receiver. The next one is, it seems like we have to sign one of these every few weeks, to be honest with you. It's an ex-Bills player, and that is defensive tackle Jordan Phillips. He was drafted in 2015 by the Dolphins, and he then left for Buffalo. He's had two stints there in between the 2020 and 2021 season where he was with the Cardinals. He's a bit of a big guy, 6'6", 342 pounds. I mean, I think in comparison, I'm 5'10". I know that I want to weigh in pounds, but I'm 80 kilos, so he's a little bit bigger than me, and he's played 120 games with 62 starts. In those games, he's had 26 sacks, 161 total pressures, 157 total tackles, along with 3 forced fumbles and 22 batted passes. And then finally, we've got a linebacker stroke special teams player in Matthew Adams. He was a 7th round selection by the Indianapolis Colts in 2018 and has also spent some time with the Bears and the Browns. He's had 85 career games, but only 13 starts, and he's recorded 98 tackles, 68 of them have been solo, 2 forced fumbles, along with 1 fumble recovery and 2 quarterback hits. Interestingly as well, he was also named to the PFF All-Pro First Team as a specials teamer in 2021 and 2023.
Shane, there has been a promise from one of the comments. Kieran, we'll try not to annoy you tonight.
The key word there is try. It's not a promise. Let's not be confused there.
There's no talk of drafting JJ McCarthy or anyone offensive line at number 6, please, Kieran. I think Shane will be fine.
May have noticed, if you follow our TikTok, that our TikTok has been more active and we're going to start posting clips, and Kieran will be delighted to know that his question made the first clip that we put on TikTok this last week.
It did. And my other half came across it the other evening when she was scrolling on TikTok. And I was like, oh, okay. she thought it was hilarious. But there you go. Nice to have 3 new names, new faces in the team. They might be able to add something. We'll see what happens. Craig, you're up next.
Yeah, Yeah, so in one that will delight Shane, Doug Analytics posted a graph that compared total value of offensive line draft picks versus the percentage of teams' draft value spent on the offensive line. And the Giants were so far and away the leaders, they were almost off the graph compared to every single other team. Since 2020, the Giants have used 5 draft picks in the first 2 days on their offensive line. 2 in 2020 with Andrew Thomas being selected in round 1, Matt Peart in round 2. And incidentally, they also selected Shane Lemieux in round 5 that year. 2022, there was another 2. They took a year off in 2021, just for Shane. 2022, there were another 2 as they took Evan Neal in round 1 and Josh Azudu in round 3. And again, they took another one on day 3 with Marcus McKethan, rounding out the 2022 class. And then finally, last year, the Giants took John Michael Schmitz in round 2. Now, I thought I'd do a little bit of research on this and have a look and see, because a lot of those players just scream injury to me. So I thought, let's have a look. So since the 7 offensive linemen have been drafted in 2022, they have been available for a combined 306 games. And they have missed over a third of those games, with 122 being missed for either injury or other reasons. So it does feel like we go in on the offensive line quite a lot here, but those stats are absolutely shocking. Despite spending as much as we have, we've consistently been one of the worst lines in the league. Do you think that is why we went the free agent route this year, Dan?
Yes. I think there's one unit on the team where you really sort of need those sort of experienced heads to sort of keep everyone sort of, you know, working together, and it's the offensive line, surely. I mean, it's all well and good having like youth and like exuberance and everything, but on the offensive line, you need that experience. You need those guys that are sort of the linchpins to that offensive line, that you can sort of put pieces around them and it won't necessarily affect the line too much. But you know, we've got a lot of young guys on the line entering the sort of second, third, even into like fourth years as well. We've spent a lot of draft capital, like you said, in the past on the offensive line, but this year is obviously, I think it's going to be different. I don't think we touch the offensive line at all in the draft, looking at what, you know, the players we have at the moment. You know, we cleared house of the sort of experienced guys that we had in last year's unit. Obviously, Bredesen was released. Glowinski was released. Bredesen, Matt Peart, and friend of the pod, Justin Pugh, obviously currently all free agents as well. So, you know, there's a lot of experience that's been cleared out there. They obviously weren't working, so they're bringing some big names. John Runyon, you know, first day of free agency. Jermaine Illuminor, you know, lesser names like Aaron Stinney, Austin Slotman, Matt Nelson as well. You know, these guys have all been there and done it in the league. They've got experience that we need to really help these young guys and bring these young guys through and help to develop these young guys as well. But I think what's most important is all these guys that have come in during free agency this season, or in this offseason, should I say, they're all Joe Shane guys. They're all Brian Daboll guys. And they obviously all fit that sort of smart, tough, dependable mantra. So, yeah, I think it looks like they're going the experience route, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah, totally agree there. Kev, what about you? Is experience the one thing that we've really been lacking? Or let me rephrase that. Is good experienced players the one thing that we've been lacking?
Yeah, massively so. I mean, like, you just outlined it. We spent, what, our O-line sort of at the moment consists of 2 first-round picks, second-round pick, Azudu in the third. You know, these are high. We always say the first 3 rounds you should be getting starting caliber players. And we haven't really, like, hit as well as we would have liked. And Joe Sheehan sort of gone out this offseason and brought in 2 starting caliber players in Illuminor and John Runyon. Now, whether you believe Illuminor should beat out Neil, you know, I'm hoping that's a camp battle, but I can definitely see like an Illuminor starting, whether it's on the outside or on the inside. I think that with as Dan says, with Stinney coming in, with Schlotman coming in, you know, he's built that, he's built sort of that sort of core of an offensive line group now. And I think our five starters and our backups are in those, in this group. And I completely agree with Dan that I don't think we'll address the draft. We've only got six picks this year. We're very, very light on picks this year with so, so many needs. And I think he's brought in starting caliber players that he sees, a starting five and a backup five. And we will use these picks in this draft to go after other needs. And I completely applaud him for that. Dan said again, yeah, these are Joe Shinn's guys. He's come in, you know, he's picked them up off the street at free agency. And they're going to go out and you know, and like Illuminor's PFF grade and his actual play has been so good in the last couple of years. Same with John Runyon. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he had to go through free agency because, like I said, I think he thinks there's good enough players here. I think he obviously has to back Neil until he can't anymore. And I think that this season is such critical, critical season for Neil because it's shit or get off the pot now. Do you know what I mean? He has to be a starting player. Otherwise, do you even kick him inside the guard? I've heard this before. Do you just go, Illuminor beat you at right tackle, you're a bust, you're done. Like, it's really interesting to see how that sort of, that story evolves and unfolds, and I'll be really interested to see it in the offseason.
Shane, it's unfortunately your turn to talk. There was a tweet on X earlier this week where someone said, look out for the Giants to maybe be a sneaky team to take O-line at six. I'm putting that to bed. That ain't happening. It's not. All the reasons we've just said kind of don't even make drafting offensive linemen really worth the punt anymore, do they?
No, I mean, like, obviously, I don't want to get going down this rabbit hole for the next 10 or 15 minutes. But no, there's no point in drafting an offensive line, really. I mean, like, there's no point in drafting O-line early. We've got bigger needs. Like, you've either got a quarterback or you've got a good wide receiver at six. Like, that's a fact. Any Giants fan that disagrees, I want to know what you've been seeing at quarterback or wide receiver that makes you think we're quite comfortable not to draft one in the first round, because, you know, for me personally, I think it's a glaring need, and it should be for any Giants fan. I mean, obviously, in regards to the offensive line, we've got a new coach this year, so, you know, you need to see how that's going to translate in training camp and into the season, because I do genuinely believe that coaching has been the sticking issue for the last 2 years, without a doubt, over the players being inconsistent. I mean, yeah, okay, we've had injuries, but, you know, every team has injuries, and I don't like using injuries as an excuse. But, you know, yeah, for me, Bobby Johnson's gone. We've got Brasello in now. So, you know, I'm intrigued to see what he does there. And, you know, if they decide to take a fly on a Cooper BB, the UConn guy, Kev, I don't know if you can help me out with his name. What's the UConn
Haynes.
Guy? Haynes. You know, if you decide to take one of them in, say, round three, if they're still there, I've got no issues with that. But, you know, the first two rounds, for me, that there's other glaring needs than offensive line, and the Giants better not be sneaky and look at it at number six, because I'm not going to be happy. I'll be looking at that man cave.
But just to touch on what Shane's saying there, I mean, like, those two types of players are extremely good players, and they would come in and start, in my opinion. They would come in and they would play right guard straight away. I kind of have them as a second round player. Shane probably agrees with that. Both of them, but if they slip to the third round, then you're talking value, then you're talking too good a player to pass up regardless of position of need.
And there's a good possibility that can slide because of the depth at wide receiver, because of people drafting them quarterbacks a bit earlier than what they probably should go, and even the tackles. But, you know, there's a lot of good tackles in this draft class, so, you know, it wouldn't be, I agree with Kev, that round two talents. But, I mean, like, even the cornerback class is quite impressive, I think. I think it's something that's, like, been overlooked a lot. So, you know, you could easily see them guys drop into round three, and, you know, the value is there then.
To cut the offensive line talk short, we're cutting the offensive line talk there. We're going to move on before we get Red Shane back again this week. Monday saw the Giants return for off-season voluntary workout period, and for several coaches and players, it wasn't there. not only their introduction to each other, but also to the infamous New York media. A few points from the coaches' pressers. First up, Brian Daboll. He said he was very pleased by the high attendance of the voluntary workouts. And he also spoke about the quarterback situation, said the scouting on the position would be done every year, not just this year. It's due diligence, as you never know if players will become available down the line. And on Daniel Jones, he said he was making strides, but declined to give a timeline on his recovery. Mike Kafka then said about he was lucky to and happy to be there, sort of reiterated that point, while adding it was an honour to have the assistant head coach title. He also said, you know, quashed any rumours that there was any bad blood between him and Dabes, and said he loved working with Dabes, but didn't confirm if he or Brian Daboll will be calling plays this upcoming season. Obviously, that's way too early to tell yet. New defensive coordinator Shane Bowen then stepped up. It was his first real opportunity to chat to the media since replacing Wink, and he was asked loads of different questions. Biggest takeaway really was that he expects the transition from Wink's style to his to be smooth, as the players won't need to unlearn anything. There's just more variations, which sounds quite promising. And then lastly, new special teams coordinator Michael Gobriel. The main point of questions for him was around the new kickoff rules. And it's safe to say that he's excited about the change on kickoffs. He said he's always felt every special teams play deserves a certain level of effort and a certain level of technique and a certain level of violence. So violence being a key word there. So those will be the foundational pieces of that rule change. But it sounds like everything's all sort of hunky-dory, tickety-boo, happy campers at the moment. Which is understandable with Dave's demeanour being under the microscope. But, Kev, do you think Dave is going to have to change tact a little bit?
I think he will a little bit. I think he can't go off the head kind of way. I mean, like, there can't be any throwing laptops at players this season. Like, there can't be, you know, any of that carry on or, you know, shouting out. I mean, like, people are going to get riled up and people are going to have a go at each other. Like, if you ever play on any sports teams, you kind of know, like, your teammates and like you get on, but you're going to have a pop at each other every now and again. But I do think, you know, he can be pissed off with things, but he just can't rant and rave for the sake of ranting and raving. It has to be constructive, I think. You know, I'm hopeful. I mean, it's kind of like it's all young coordinators now. So Dable's very much like, you know, I've done my 2 years of head coaching for the first time, and now this is sort of my corners. And like, let's be honest, Mike Kafka's in his last year and he'll be gone this year. And we can see Shea Tierney getting the OC job next year is what we all presume. And someone like Shane Bone to come in who's mid to late 30s. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see the dynamic now, because these people are coming in under Brian Daboll, whereas someone like Wink came in who had auditioned for proper head coaching jobs and the elder statesman, and it was his way. You were never going to change his way. So I'm interested to see the dynamic of the coaching staff going forward.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a tough one, really, because, I mean, I'm not that old, but I grew up in, like, playing sport and watching sport, like, in the 90s, where people did get bollockings, and I kind of like it in one way, you know. I want players to be held accountable. Like, if you do something wrong, give them a dressing down. Now, whether that should be done on the sideline or in the dressing room is a different conversation. But I do still think you need kind of some authority. But obviously, in this day and age, let's not beat around the bush. You have to mollycoddle players. You can't swear at them. You have to put an arm around them. You have to wipe them tears away and tell them it's going to be okay. And that's a load of bullshit, in my opinion. You know, sometimes you need the hard truth. You need a little bit of accountability held, and you need the hairdryer treatment. And so, you know, it's a bit of a tough one. Like, I can kind of, that's the way I like it. I understand, you know, in this day and age, you can't do it. And if you do it, you're going to be under scrutiny. I mean, Dave just stares at someone the wrong way and it's making news on GMFB. Like, that's not news. That's just, you know, looking at a player and making it clear, yeah, I'm pissed off with you. So, you know, we'll be just,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But it will be interesting to see, you know, kind of if he changes this year, and it maybe it's just slight changes, and he's still going to do it, but it's going to be toned down a little bit.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to kind of take away from everything that happened, and especially if you listen to like the way that John Mara was talking a few weeks ago at the owners' meetings and stuff, is that Dave isn't like that all the time. Like, that's not his demeanor 24/7. That just seems to be something that comes out on the sideline, almost like, you know, a lot of players turn around and they say, the second I touch that grass, I turn into a different animal. Like, it's almost like that happens to Dave's as well. But obviously, he's the one on the sideline. And yeah, it can bleed into the post-match sort of press conferences, because tension and you know, emotions will run high, especially if you've lost. Let's not beat around the bush. Outside of his rookie year, we lost a lot last year. And I can't imagine it sat well with him. So I do think that maybe having more say over his defensive coordinator and not kind of, you know, having a mismatch kind of group put together, because it wouldn't surprise me if Wink was put there as the kind of more experienced head to help ease him into the whole head coaching thing. And now that he's realized, actually, I need someone who I can trust, Bowen is going to be that guy. I think he does need to tone it down, but you don't want to force somebody to be something that they're not. And if that's how he is on the sideline, and let's not forget as well, when the NFLPA report came out, Dave's had one of the highest player ratings amongst any head coach in the NFL. So it's not like his players don't like playing for him. It's just him. That's just Dave's.
It's just the New York media making a big deal of it. You know, it's yeah, rightly so. It's just him. It's how he manages his players. Yeah, that, you know, there's a sort of a line. And if you start sort of losing it too often, then all right, mate, your sort of your demeanor and your sort of way of doing things on the sideline might be put under the microscope a bit more. But I mean, as Darren rightly said, there's nothing wrong with bollocking, but screaming and shouting and throwing stuff around is a sign of lack of self-discipline, which, yeah, you spot on there, really, Darren. And I totally agree with that. But yeah, I think Dave's has got his squad around him now, and I think he'll be more sort of not so focused, but he might sort of rein it in a little bit, because he'll have it sort of how he wants it. But at the same time, I don't expect him to rein it in too much with the players anyway. All right, lastly, Kev. Not lastly, Kev, over to you. some chatter about the GOAT this week.
Oh, the GOAT of head coaching, Bill Belichick's come up. So Billy, we're going to talk about an article at ESPN came out yesterday about Bill Belichick's field job hunt. The main talking point, really, from a Giants point of view, came the second section of the article, where it was said that Bill is biding his time until next January for openings on teams that he's interested in. Who are those teams, people are wondering? Well, the teams that came up were the Eagles, Cowboys, and yes, your New York Football Giants. Now, we put a poll out yesesday regarding this, and 121 votes. The results are 49 for yes, 59.5%, 72 for no, 40.5%. We also asked for comments on X, from X followers, and we have a few here. So we have Darren Cook: no organization is going to let any coach have that much power, even if it's Bill. Arthur Fleck: no, that's a hard no. We've seen what it's done with subpar team like the Patriots without Tom Brady. It'd be no different to JJ. Adding pressure as the media circus be watching his every single move. Stick with Dable. We've seen what he can do with a fully fit roster. And David DeFranco: no, he's like 70 years old. And then we have Marcus Maxakis. This gives Dable maybe 8 games. If we're 1-7, 2-6, maybe 3-5, pressure will be on him and Shane. Now, sure, regarding Mara and Belichick history, but he wouldn't want him in Dallas or Philly. Fans will love it. Bill would kill to coach that front seven. He would kill to coach that front seven. Now, Bill did come out and say that, or it was reported that Bill doesn't want to have the front office duties, that he will just want a coaching job. But I want to know, we've heard from some of the ex-followers there, but for you boys, would you take Bill Belichick at the Giants? I'll start with Shane.
Oh, man, pressure ain't going first either. I'd seriously consider it, because if that question's being asked, that means that Dives has been sacked because he's had a poor season. And, you know, at the end of the day, if someone says to you, you get Bill Belichick and you win one or two Super Bowls in the next 5 to 10 years, why wouldn't you sign up to that? I'm not saying that's what will happen, but, you know, he's a coach with a proven track record. He's always had a soft spot for the Giants, I believe. And I think he's still kind of held in some kind of high regard with John Mara as well. So for me, it just comes down to the fact of, if you're asking that question, that means that Dave is either on the hot seat or has been sacked.
Right. So Craig, now his time at Patriots was phenomenal, obviously. He didn't have Tom Brady and this went down a bit. Do you think it was more his coaching that got worse over the years and near the end? Or do you think it just needs a bit of a fresh start and both parties needed to part ways? So do you think it's more a fresh start at the Giants would be a good thing for him? Or do you think at his age, he might be done?
I'm going to caveat this with my answer to the original, would I take Bill at the Giants, is a hard no. This could be a Shane level rant, this. Bill Belichick is out of touch with modern players, and that's the problem. So Bill Belichick has been a steward at the Patriots for years. He's coached Lawrence Taylor at the Giants. He's coached plenty of players. But you listen to the players that talk, they didn't like Bill Belichick in his later years, because players now, as Shane rightly alluded to in our previous point, they need to be cuddled and they need to be treated in a certain way. Bill Belichick does not strike me as the type of person who would come in and be able to handle someone like a Deontay Banks. We saw Deontay Banks in the locker room. Did he look like the kind of player that Bill Belichick's going to go over and dap up and give him a big old cuddle? No. I don't want Bill Belichick anywhere near this. I personally think if you put Bill Belichick near this Giants team, we go back 5 years. We go back to where we were under Joe Judge and it didn't work. We completely kill any momentum that we may have made with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, even if Daboll's not here. And I just believe that signing someone like Bill Belichick for the feel-good factor and, oh, yeah, he was DC and at the Giants and, oh, he started his coaching career here under Parcells, could not give two shits. I'm not here for nostalgia trips. I'm here to win games, and Bill Belichick will not win the Giants games.
I mean, that's pretty definitive answer there. I mean, I'll applaud you for that. So Dan, have you got anything to add to that?
I mean, I was gladly snacking away my popcorn there. How'd you follow that? Long story short, no. I agree with a lot of points that Craig makes. I just don't see him moving this team forward any more than what Daboll potentially could do. Obviously, if the question is Bill Belichick going to come in? Like you said, Dave's is gone, so are we going to move forward over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, however long Belichick will be there? In all honesty, probably not. A lot of what he achieved at New England was because of Tom Brady, let's face it. Yes, he's a fantastic coach in his prime, but he's past his prime. It's, you know, pass the baton on to someone younger. You know, Alex Ferguson knew when it was time to pack it in, and he went out on a high. Belichick, he's not had a high these last few years, and it's almost like, he's not got anything left to prove. Maybe he's got a point left to prove for himself. Who knows? But in a long story short, no for me. And there we go. Craig, what was said? There was a press conference today. What was said in that presser?
Yeah, so just quickly, just want to highlight something that Tony's just put. Guys, just seeing your Andy's Man Club fundraiser info as a facilitator there. I just want to say thank you on behalf of Andy's Man Club. Fantastic. Obviously, for anybody who missed the opening, you can scan the QR code in the bottom right-hand corner to donate and enter yourself into the raffle for draft night, where you can win one of our prizes. Tony's a massive fan of one, a follower of ours, and we appreciate it. And he was the one who sort of pushed us onto the Andy's Man Club stuff in the first place. So, right, Joe Shane presser time. There was a presser today, literally at 5 p.m. with us obviously going live at 8:30. So it was a scramble to watch and digest, and let's try and dissect it a little bit. So he took to the podium to chat about next week's draft, and there was a lot said, so we'll try and keep this to highlights, and then there'll be some questions at the end. And obviously, if anybody else has any questions about anything we've spoken about or what we're about to speak about with the presser, make sure you put them in the comments. We'll read them out at the end of this segment. So Joe Shane kind of opened saying that there were numerous plans for the draft still, and that their draft board should be set tomorrow before they walk away from it for the weekend, basically. He expressed his desire to kind of stay away over the weekend. And kind of the quote that I really liked from him was paralysis by analysis. And that's one thing that they don't want to do in any way, shape or form. He was also asked about the value of trading up, and mentioned that a deal with the Commanders is probably unlikely due to the interdivision rivalry there. So really, we can look at pick three being the first opportunity that we will have to try and trade up. When asked about how deep the receiver position is in the draft, he agreed, noting that several members would likely go in the first round, and that new kickoff rules kind of mean that receivers may be asked to do more in that department rather than just being a pure receiver. And that's where a lot of teams might actually look at someone who, yes, they're a wide receiver, but yes, they can actually contribute in these new kickoff rules. Here was a question earlier in the chat about this one regarding Slayton. So let's talk about that. He is holding out of voluntary workouts, wanting an improved contract. Shane said to the media that it doesn't affect anything regarding drafting a receiver, that Slayton wants a new contract or that he's holding out. And he also added that Slayton's agent was a friend of his. Now, Dan Duggan posted after the presser that he doesn't think Shane has any intention of extending Slayton. So maybe that's one to watch over the coming weeks. He was also asked about Waller, the rumbling on of that I think we're all getting quite bored of. Joe Shane's only comment on that was, we haven't given him a timeline on his decision to retire. So that one will likely rumble on and rumble on. And then just some sort of quick fire notes here. He's been surprised about how many calls he's had from teams below the Giants. The Giants didn't lose many players off their draft board on Monday when they had their Monday night medical meeting, looking at the players with health concerns. He said he would be comfortable having three quarterbacks on the roster if that's what it came down to. He said that Rich Eisen's report about buyer's remorse was not true. And of course, he was going to say that. And finally, the Giants had 170 players on their board before the declarations were made that ended up going back to college, that then forced them to rethink. So, to avoid us repeating the same answers to the same questions we keep putting on week after week, we're focused on some of the important bits. So, Shane, your thoughts first on Slayton's holdout.
I'm a bit surprised by it. I mean, he's not like a stud wide receiver. He's not like been putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, I do like Slayton. I think for someone who was drafted in the fifth round, I've said before on here that I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism at times from fans. But, you know, he's shown up over the last few years. In fact, he's shown up pretty much every year for us. You know, yeah, he's had his drops, but, you know, for a fifth round draft pick, I've got a lot of time for him. I'm surprised he's deciding to hold out, but I don't take anything too. It's way too early in the season to be worried about anything at the minute. So, you know, I think I've seen Joe Shane's comments, and he said he's close with his agent, and I don't think they're going to be entering contract negotiations anytime soon. So, you know, I'll start to get worried if he decides to hold out come the season. But all being well, come the season, we might have a wide receiver one on our team because we've drafted one at number six. So he's got to ask the question: is it really worth it for himself?
Kev, your thoughts on Slayton?
Yeah, just quickly, Holt is ready. He has been our top receiver for the last 4 or 5 years. But I believe he is due $6.2 million this year. He signed a two-year contract last year. But it's one of those things where, like, Sheehan kind of wants him to go prove it. Right, you want a new deal. You're in your final year. Go prove it and go out and earn it. And I think Slayton kind of wants a deal done before they bring in a number one wide receiver that might knock him off his sort of like standing. So it's a really, really tricky one. I don't think he's the type of guy to hold out for, definitely not for the season. I don't think he'll hold out for much of camp. This is all voluntary at the moment. And you have to miss 85% before you actually lose any money. I can't remember how much exactly. But I think he'll, when it comes to proper OTAs, I think he'll be back. Once the draft's over and we actually start proper OTAs, I think he'll be back.
Dan?
I don't think there's anything too concerning at the moment, in all honesty. I think regardless of whether he signs a new contract or not, he'll be back with the team. Mm. But I think, he's been our top receiver for the last 5 years, but Maybe he does have to prove it a little bit. You know, he needs to prove that he can do it with another contract with the Giants. So I'm not too concerned about it at the moment, but I'm also not surprised that he's not had a new deal yet. But there we go.
So, Kev, I'll start with you on this next one. Are you a little surprised that there are a number of teams that want to trade up with the Giants, considering the Giants have not been, you know, too coy about the fact that they are very heavily involved in the quarterback situation?
I was very surprised to hear that, actually. I thought, again, it might be teams wanting to see if JJ McCarthy falls there to six, which I think is a little bit unlikely. You're going to have teams like Saints, Broncos, Vikings, all sort of like, they're probably making calls to 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, like all those probably make calls to all them. What would interest me now is if someone like the Bears or the Jets or one of those teams around 9, 10, if they were interested in coming up, because I think that's a position that I'd be very interested to move back to. Am I surprised the call's been made? No. Am I surprised Joe Sheehan was willing to admit that there's been more than he expected? Yeah, definitely.
Dan, what are your thoughts on this? And also, I'll come back to Kev and ask him this question at the end, but another one for you and Jane to go. How far would you be happy to go back? How far down the board do you think we could go back, considering you're going to miss out on some generational talent there, and we have needs.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to move out of the top 10. You know, we have desperate, glaring holes at certain positions. So I wouldn't want to move out of the top 10. We've got an opportunity to take, like you said, a generational talent in a position that is of dire need. So I think it would be a very unwise decision to move out of the top 10. You know, unless we traded with a team that were giving us a player in return that is a top receiver or a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, I think it'd be stupid to move out of the top 10. And am I surprised? The original question: am I surprised that teams have been calling? Not at all. And am I surprised that that Shane said about it? I mean, I'm surprised he came out and said a lot of teams have been in contact with him, because I expect sort of Joe Shane to play his cards quite close to his chest because he seems like that type of person. So I'm surprised he announced that. But no, I think out of the top 10 would be, I don't know what the drop off would be, but we definitely need that top talent to help us move forward.
So Shane, obviously, that we've said there's a number of teams. Dan said not outside of the top 10. Colty put, what about Vikings 11 and 23? Is the 23 enough to maybe get you to drop out the top 10?
I'd drop it at the top 10, no problems. I'll be comfortable dropping down to about 15, 17, to be honest with you. I think the key thing is...
Can we take O-line, yeah?
Don't poke the bear. He was in a flow.
Just have a breathe a second. but no, look, I mean, I've seen, look, you know, Vikings 11 and 23, would I do that? All day long, it's an absolute no-brainer. I've seen, I think, was it earlier today, is it maybe Tom Pelissero tweeted out saying that Broncos are looking to give up 12, Pat Surtain, and a first rounder next year. Now, would we get that moving up to number 6? I don't know. But like Joe Shane said himself, there's a premium that comes for moving up for a quarterback at the end of the day, and you've got to be prepared to pay that premium. Now, would I move to 12 and take Patrick Surtain? 100%. Like, you know, you'd be getting a cornerback that we've said we need. Not a veteran quarterback in the sense he's been in the league a few years, but still young enough to have Pat Surtain and Deontay Banks opposite each other. So, you know, I'd 100% consider that. And in all honesty, am I surprised Joe Shane's come out and said this? Not at all. It's smoke week at the end of the day. There could be absolutely no interest have come out. So what does Joe Shane do to try and generate interest? I can't believe how many teams have contacted. Say all of a sudden, teams that haven't even made that call are now thinking, are they open for business then? Are other teams looking at moving up? Shit, we better speak to Joe Shane and see what he wants. So, you know, I think it's a real smart move by him coming out and turning around and saying it, because either A, he's chatting shit, but now other teams are thinking it, or B, he's being honest, and all he's doing is ramping up even more interest in potentially making it clear that we are open to moving down.
I genuinely thought you were going to say the Broncos offer 14 and Surtain, and then a bit of BTJ comes out.
Oh, we have a bit of BTJ, don't we, Kev?
Mate, that's exactly what we're doing. If we move to 12 and we get past Surtain, I am having BTJ all day long.
Right, so I will
add on that. Don't get me wrong, I would take the 12th pick and Patrick Surtain because he's a quality quarterback.
And an area of need, really, isn't it? I've got one more question, but before that, UK Giants fan, any thoughts on a potential trade for Aiyuk? Now, interestingly, our friend Justin Pugh, who has his net worth show, was being Giants GM for the evening on his show and said... San Fran 31, Aiyuk, and I think it was a fourth for our first and a fifth. I think it was something around those lines. Obviously, someone in the comments will probably be able to correct me. Kev's showing me a three. I'm not sure if that's and a three from us, three and a four swap, or three from there.
No, it was six overall, four, 31, Aiyuk, and third.
So there you go. Thoughts on Kev, thoughts on that potential trade? Would you do it down to 31? Pick up Aiyuk?
Oh, it's a long way to go. Aiyuk is a very good player now, but he needs a big contract, and you're gonna be talking 30 mil per. It's interesting because it's fair. Like it's a fair trade, I guess. But yeah, he's just gonna need paying and like it's so tricky because we've already got a lot of big players on the books. And don't forget, although we can get our Daniel Jones contract next year, we'll still be paying him $20 million not to be in our team next year if we cut him. Yes, we'll make the savings, but we'll still be paying them $20 million not to be on the team. So it's a very, very interesting one, and one that we could probably talk for a long time about the pros and cons. I'm one of those ones where, like, I'd be on the fence, and I would need one of you two to prod me over the fence either way.
Shane, would you prod him over the fence?
No. Come back, Kev. Come back. I wouldn't do it, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, the fact that he's got that contract extension, like Kev mentioned, but also, and it's something very minor, but why would I want to take a 26-year-old Brandon Aiyuk, who maybe I've got in his prime for 3 to 4 years, instead of a 20-year-old Malik Nabers, who I could have for the next 8 to 10 years? So for me, it's an easy no.
Dan, you can answer that one, and then I've got the follow-up question for you.
No.
Cool, follow-up question. what are your thoughts on wide receivers asking to do more regarding kickoffs? Is it a risk? Asking a wide receiver drafted to take up kickoffs as well?
Yes. But if we draft a receiver at 6, then it's a massive risk, because you're potentially putting your best player that we picked in this draft in harm's way for the sake of a kickoff return. If it was a receiver that we took lower in the draft, then maybe, because they would have something to prove. A receiver at 6 wouldn't have anything to prove necessarily, because they're expected to be great.
I do think that was kind of maybe the point I think Shane was maybe getting at, was a lower down wide receiver, like a second or third.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
That's my fault for not wording the question correctly.
That's right. But I think, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Has that round out the news? I think that's everything for the news, isn't it?
Yeah, I've just got one quick question for Kevin Shane before we sort of move on to the mock. How much would that change your boards lower down from 6 to 10 if you then started to take into account kickoffs as a kind of hybrid receiver kickoff specialist?
I mean, it's an interesting one, but I actually think bringing in someone like Dante Miller, who we've talked about on the podcast recently, who we signed, you know, you're talking about a 5'9" bowling ball, 200-pound running back who runs a 4.2 something. Do you know what I mean? So, like, he's so shifty, and he showed at his Columbia tape that he is shifty. So, you know, do you look at these type of players to come in? Because you wouldn't risk a first-round wide receiver or something again. But are you looking at more of the ball carriers? You know, more like the running backs with vision to try to kind of like go for this position now. So I think this opens up a great chance for someone like Dante Miller on the team to make that sort of position his own.
Shane?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it doesn't change the draft boards too much, because the guys that can offer something on kickoff returns or punt returns, all they're really silly doing is turning themselves from an undrafted free agent to maybe a 5th, 6th, 7th round draft pick.
Cool.
That's fair enough. All right, we're going to move on. That's the news, albeit it's almost an hour long. But yeah, it's some really good talking points there. So it's worth getting into. There hasn't been any mock draft updates, and there probably won't be any more. So we're going to put that section to bed for this year. So we're just going to get cracking with our full 7-round mock draft. It's main event time. Producer Craig, how's it going to work?
Nice and simple. We will pick for the Giants. We will let PFF do everything else. Shane gets no restarts if Harrison drops to 6. And it's down to Shane and Kev to really talk it out. Me and Dan will sit here, nod our heads, pretend to agree with what's being said, and that is it. So
let the carnage begin.
Yeah, Kev, Shane, if you're ready, we will pop it through. It's obviously on slow, so it might take a while to get through some of the picks, but once we get through to round six, we'll see it up so we get to the end.
Oh, hopefully no Keely Ringo this year.
It was so promising when it went to first three QBs, didn't it?
I saw that and I was like, oh, we're going to get a normal
one. Well, the Cardinals taking a tackle. Maybe it's a charge. I could understand it, but the Cardinals.
Restart. Vito, restart. Let's go.
We'll go back on our own word and restart. At least it looks like it's behaving.
Present the rules. Itself. Restart.
How many restarts until he gets taken?
If it doesn't do it on this one, JJ McCarthy at number two. Hello.
So Shane, what are we doing here?
Shane, how do you feel about JJ McCarthy at two?
What? I missed that.
Oh, I wasn't going to tell him. Why did you tell him for? Please, for love of God.
I thought he saw it.
No, I was looking at something else.
Listen out. Let's get cracking then. All right, who's on the board? What we got? Let's have a look. Drake May, they're sitting pretty at the top. Malik Nabers, just below him. And then your boy there, Joe Alt, Kev, third on the list. Where are we looking, lads?
Well, the obvious one there is Drake May. I mean, he's the type of QB that we are rumoured to be looking at number three with the trade with the Patriots. If we're going to give up serious capital to move from 6 to 3 to get him at 3, then if he's here, if he's here to take at 6, I mean, we've just got to take him, sit him for a year, let him work out Shea Tierney, Mike Kafka, and Brian Dable's offense, get rid of some of his bad habits, and get him ready to go for next year.
Shane, in total agreement with that.
No, I'm going to say take Malik Nabers. 20-year-old wide receiver. We need wide receiver desperately. Yes, we can take a wide receiver in the second round, but you've got a guy here sitting there who would be wide receiver one in probably 3, maybe 4 of the last 5 draft classes. The only reason he's not wide receiver one this year is because you got a generational talent in Marvin Harrison Jr. in front of him. And I'd say the only wide receiver in recent memory that might be above him would be Jamar Chase. So for me, I'm gonna say let's take the weapon, let's take the wide receiver. Nabers fits the system a lot better. You get production from him from day one rather than wasting a 6 overall pick for a guy to sit a year. And you know, Dable hasn't got that time. At the end of the day, he needs results this year. In all honesty,
so my argument here would be that Nabers is probably the more realistic pick here. I know we only do what the mock draft board says, but I think if Washington have gone McCarthy, then chances are that Vikings go May. So do we just take Nabers and try and straighten out the realism curve here?
That's what I would do in this instant.
Yeah. Agreed, Dan. I
mean, let's face it, May's going at number two, right? McCarthy ain't going at number two. So let's get back on the realism. Malik Nabers.
Scenes if Nick's now falls to us in round two.
Absolute scenes.
Right, so let's take Nabers.
Which is this going to go? Because I know we're not going to do it.
Okay, you might as well do it fast, no?
No, what I was going to say was, Drake May goes to 11 there. But depending on kind of who goes, say when we get to about, we're not going to do it, but say 25, 26, you then consider moving up for a quarterback potentially?
I don't think we've got the draft capital. I think this year we're going to stick and pick pretty much. I can see us trading back a couple of times, but I can't see us making too many moves.
We'd have to give too many future picks away as well, I think.
You wouldn't want to give any more this year.
I'd be looking at moving up here. From 28 onwards, I'd move.
We did it last time, didn't we?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think we did do one where we traded up, didn't we?
I know we did it where we traded back.
Oh, we traded down, didn't we? We traded down.
Yeah.
Traded down and back up.
But I think here, I think the draft happens for next year if you have to.
What quarterback? on board.
What quarterbacks are on the board? Nicks, Penix.
Still there?
Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to draft. I thought we were just going to go through it.
No, no, we're not.
We will, but...
Just like a talking point about trading up into the back end of the first.
I would definitely do it.
Your ideal spot would be right here, right? 33?
See, I'd want in that first.
Give me a second round.
I want that fifth-year option.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair
so that, that's why I'm saying, like, between 28 and 32 is the sweet spot. Get that fifth-year option.
James has just put, wait, what? Neighbours over May. I missed the reason for that. The reason was...
Realistic.
Yeah.
A little bit of realism, please.
Just straighten out that curve that was going to piss us off for the second mock draft in a row there.
Just before we carry on, Dan, who's that? It's been took at number 32.
Hey!
I can't actually see the name.
He's a tackle out of...
BYU,
yeah.
I'm going to have to look his name up on my phone. Give me 2 seconds.
His first name's Kingsley, and I think it's the only Kingsley in the draft, so we'll continue on.
He's a tackle, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's find him.
So Bo Nix
Kingsley.
Did he not make your top five, no?
Kingsley Suamatea.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go.
Right, so Nix went to the Packers at 41, which is his...
Michael Penix Jr.'s medicals haven't checked out by the looks of it.
Oh,
with him falling.
Johnny Newton going 3 picks before. Oh,
I know.
He was sexy Dexy. Oh,
don't. Scary. Okay, so are we looking at a quarterback here, or are we looking at other positions of needs?
We've taken wide receiver, so you're probably looking Penix. Saint Rostill, is that are we saying he's a slot? Is he a slot corner more than a?
Yeah,
a...
I think he could offer some outside, but I think I don't know what Kev thinks, but I think he's going to get his best ball from him in the slot.
Yeah, 100% slot. Yeah,
sorry, Dan.
He's the next wide receiver. He went to Michigan as a wide receiver. And then went over, and I think he had like 4 or 5 picks or something like. He's just an absolute bull hawk, but he's a lot shorter, stockier. But I don't know. I think the need for outside corner is a little bit higher than need for slot. But
yeah, I was going to say, what other corners are available, and would it be a bit of a reach to take him with the 47th overall?
I do not need a bit of TJ.
TJ Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love TJ Tampa.
I think he's
considered draft position 43.
Yeah, he's 6'1", 189 pounds. That's exactly sort of the sweet spot where he'd go. I think he'd probably go a little bit earlier, but yeah, I love a bit of TJ Tampa there. He comes in straight away, number two, cornerback opposite Banks.
Yeah, position maybe be safety.
That's what I was thinking. I think
the third round is sort of the sweet spot for safety. There's one Tyler Newbin there.
We've said before that, like, you know, what wide receiver round, if you're not going to do quarterback, wide receiver round one, cornerback round two. And so I'm on board your TJ Tampa.
Same.
Let's go with TJ Tampa then.
Me and Dan are essential yes men here, aren't we?
TJT.
That's what you fancy.
I mean, we didn't have BTJ.
Yeah, but if you ain't going to have a bit of BTJ, you need to have a bit of TJ.
There you go.
So,
and he does fit. I think he fits the new DC's scheme a bit better.
Nice.
There's a player that stands out here for me, but just what safeties are available?
Safety, we have Kalen Bullock, Dadrian Taylor, the Merson.
DTD.
He was your fifth, wasn't he?
Yeah. So Kev can have a look at what he wants to say, but more of that would be good to I might Rook, Rooka, Roa, Roro.
Rooka, Roa, Ro.
Yeah.
Row, row, row your boat.
You know, I think
I have him as my third interior defensive lineman.
Yeah, and the reason I give for the deal on, he's obviously kind of the two lads we got at the minute are, what are the names? The Oregon lad who we drafted last year. No, not last year, the year before.
DJ Davidson.
Davidson was the one a couple of years ago. And then who did we draft last year from Oregon? What's his name?
We drafted a player called Jordan Riley.
Jordan Riley, yeah, that's it. I think
very raw, wasn't he?
Yeah, you've lost Leo. Like, obviously, traded him away last year. You've lost Aishawn as well. Them two guys have kind of never really done it. And I do, you know, I do think Rook's a really good D tackle. I think he's D tackle three for. I think he might have been D tackle four for me actually. But he was behind Johnny Newton and Tavondre Sweat. So
another a Clemson Tiger.
Yeah, and again, you know, it's about filling the trenches. We struggle with the run game. Mm-hmm. You know, cool. I'd be going for Rook, to be honest.
Shore up that that D line, make it a bit of a beast.
Yeah.
Just before we do
Third.
Just a quick shout out there for Mark. Mark was one of the guys who fed us all tequila shots at in the tailgate before the game. So nice and
early. 10 a.m. in the morning.
What better time to have tequila shots at 9 a.m., right?
And Bill's just said it wouldn't be the Giants if we didn't get someone whose name we all have to learn to pronounce. We actually have a couple of names in the comments for me and Dan to pronounce at the end of this.
We do. So
if anybody else has any, just throw them in the comments. But we will take Rook, and I'm not even going to do it.
A row. Yeah, it's quite easy to be fair.
Let's go, Rook. And also, he's a Clemson defender, a Clemson defensive lineman. He'll fit in very, very nicely.
That's it. Sexy Dixie, take him under his wing.
Sexy Dixie, you know it, boy.
So here's where I hope I have a couple of players I hope kind of fall.
Well, what if one of them was Spencer Rattler, he didn't.
No, I'm not sold on Spencer Rattler. Too much hype with him.
Anyone who's watched this over the last couple of weeks knows straight
Ben
away.
Ben Sinnott.
Do we do it?
I'm putting that on the table.
Putting it on the table.
Yeah, let's text Ben, man. That's a no. I mean, just a couple of players I'll mention as well. Christian Mahogany Kerr is a standout here as well. Good value.
Yeah, big time. I have him a lot higher than this.
Yeah, he'd be value 100%.
But Michael Pratt is actually quite a good quarterback. Like, you could, if you wanted someone to develop, he's the kind of player I'd be tempted to take here. Like, very pro ready. Just didn't like the world on fire. But I think, you know, you'd be tempted with that. I'm higher than Eric Cole and some other people are. You got Tyrone Tracy jumping up draft boards.
Yeah, I do like Tyrone Tracy to do. I think the Beast had Pratt mocked us as well. Was it about this point, round four, I think? But yeah, I mean, you know, Ben's not a standout. Like, as soon as I see that name, yeah, draft crush this year, 100%. You're watching me a bust now.
Yeah, I know, yeah. if we go on the assumption of Darren Waller is retiring, which I think he will do, the tight end room is very, very light after Dan Bellinger.
And I think it's value. Agreed. As well. I think both me and Kevin
agree.
Got day two grade on him since the game at the start of that day three.
Yeah.
And let's just think about Michael Pratt. Who wants a blue jersey with the word Pratt on the back?
I mean, Ben Sinnott, I've moved him up to second on my tight end board now.
There we go.
Oh, producer Craig's made the decision. Let's go.
Done it.
Craig Sheehan over here, just doing it.
Yeah.
Scared money, don't make money.
That's it. So 166, where are we thinking in?
I'd like to look at the safeties here.
Shout a name out quickly, Kev. Who are you hoping? Well,
I'm hoping for my boy Cole Bishop.
I'll go for my Wake Forest guy. I can't think his name.
Malik Mustafa.
Yeah, he'd be an interesting one. I mean, Zach Zinter, I think, is good value here.
Let's have a look at safeties. Let's see if...
God.
Pulling Pickens, I think, now.
I don't mind.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, like Dominic Hampton is quite good. Bo Breard is an athletic beast. We talked about Keaton Oladapo on our day three guys before.
Not a chance.
What's your thoughts on running back? Having a look at running backs here.
I mean, I do like Kimani Vidal. I'm a bit higher on Kimani Vidal than other people. Dylan Loeb, again, he's another one who kind of going to be more of a third down back, catching the ball out of the backfield on them third downs, etc.
Has anyone had a better draft sort of like process than Isaac Grendo?
Oh, he smashed the combine, didn't he?
Oh, mate, like he's, I think, like from all the talk coming about him, I think he's going to go so much higher than this. Is there anyone for you?
Not
that really out. Jumps off the page. Like,
can we have a look at cornerback and linebacker?
Yeah,
we've got 16 picks between now and our next pick.
Trevon Wallace
here is just phenomenal value.
Your boy Kalen King there, Shane, as well.
Yeah, he had a bit of a poor year. I mean, I was looking at cornerbacks. So I was thinking...
John Newton, I like.
Yeah, Josh Newton. Yeah, Josh Newton. I was thinking, like, you know, maybe a slot cornerback here, depending on...
That's what I'm trying to look for. But, I mean, Josh Newton's an outside guy. Elijah Jones is good value here.
I mean, do we just look at getting rid of all filters and just take BPI?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, again, I have Trevon Wallace as my number five linebacker, so I think that's good value here. That Jordan Travis could be a developmental quarterback there. Like, Craig, you should be able to give us a scouting report.
The only scouting report I've got is the raised eyebrows right now.
Can you just carry us down a few more, please?
See, I'm thinking linebacker or safety here.
I'm liking Oladapo or Wallace, or Trevon Wallace here.
Yeah, I think for me it's Wallace or Zach Zinta. Just for a little bit of depth on the old line and the guard position.
Yeah. True. I mean, like, I kind of think our O line is settled to a certain extent even with depth, whereas I think linebacker, after McFadden and Bobby, where does Simmons fit in? And then we haven't really got much else behind them, to be honest, apart from special teamers.
We've still got Darren Beavers as well. He's still around, isn't he?
Go on, let Holti make the pick.
Holti has said, go Wallace.
Go Wallace.
Wallace it.
Let's do it.
Have we got Gromit coming up next?
And last,
all the American listeners are like, what?
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
Kimani's still there. But I think Punter is...
Punters are people too. Just go for the IPP lads. So I like Miles Cole here as well, the edge. Texas Tech. Yeah, I think sort of... This type of thing is good value. I mean, Josh Proctor is quite good here. I mean,
Josh Newton's still there. Johnny Dixon's still there. Bo Braid's still there.
Bo Braid for me all day long. I have Bo Braid way higher than this. I say way higher. He's my ninth safety. I actually had him. I've gone one spot above Oladapo.
So I think safety's a good pick here. If we a decent safety at this pick in round six.
I actually think Bo Breed's got starting potential in the league as a box safety.
Okay.
I think as well, if you want to look at taking a running back, obviously there's going to be plenty of running backs that go undrafted, so you can probably pick one up there. And potentially even the same at cornerback. So I'd be fine with Bo Breed at 183.
So what happened to do there is complete a draft with no quarterback?
Correct. Because we're just going to take our medicine this year and then see what happens next year. Daniel Jones is going to have a miraculous recovery with a steady O-line and throw for 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, lead us to the playoffs, and just shocks everyone.
You've earned a new award, Craig. Well done.
Yeah, it's caught. Cool. You ever can tell the tiredness he's getting to you.
What's that, your 200th mock draft, Craig?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So apparently we should have taken Penix.
Yeah.
I honestly, lads, think Penix is going round one, you know.
I don't think that's bad grades. B minus is the worst we've got.
Let's round it up.
I mean, so, you got your... Go on.
Go on, Kev, go on.
I was going to say, like, you know, first round, you go Malik Nabers. You know, apart from Harrison, he's going to be number one wide receiver in almost any draft. Fantastic player, can do so much. You got a starting cornerback, plays a little bit more zone than man, which suits the new defensive coordinator a bit better than Wink. You know, opposite Banks, you got two starting corners now going forward, only a year apart in draft. You got Rukurororo, which I mean, I think is a plug and play three technique next to big sexy Dexy nose tackle. I mean, I think he's plug and play. Got the big blue UK and Ireland tight end darling in Ben Sinnott on the day three, who's an all round, can do it all, you know, glue on his gloves, can block his ass off, can do it all. You know, he's not the shiftiest of guy. And then you've got an absolute wrecking ball, Trevin Wallace. I mean, when we talked about him before, he's one of those players, like, you know, when he hits someone, it looks like they've been in a car wreck, or it looks like he completely misses him at all, and, you know, you just got a near miss, because he either misses his tackles or he actually obliterates his the offensive player. Then you've got a really, really tidy player in Bo Breed, who is a physical player as well, who's more of that box safety, and I think can start. And I think Trevin Wallace will push Michael McFadden for a starting spot as well. So, I mean, if you come out of here with six players who you could say could potentially be starting caliber players for the Giants this year or next, I mean, that's a great draft, in my opinion.
And what I'm going to do now, if no one minds, is I'm just going to cross-reference these with the Big Blue UK and Ireland draft bible that you can get your hands on this weekend. details will be passed on later on. But Malik Nabers is a player that we all know very well. He is mocked on a regular basis to the Giants. I think everyone's got him mocked to us apart from, waiting for it to load up, one person. He's Dane Brugler's wide receiver two. In regards to Ben Sinnott, just bear with me.
That is a great comment. And with this, we get to keep DeVito. I love
yes,
it.
We do.
I love it too, Bill. I
love passing Paisan.
I can't help it. I just love the guy.
we've took Ben Sinnott at 107. Dane Brugler has him going up 101. And Matt Miller has him going at 135. So kind of, you know, that day.
Sweet spot. Three.
Yeah, in and around that area. And he's Dane Brugler's tight end six. And then if we move on to the defensive players, so we'll start with Tampa.
TJ Tampa, Iowa State.
Shane, have you got the draft Bible in front of you there?
Yeah.
Do you want to share your screen and just a little sneaky peek at what TJ Tampa looks like in the draft Bible?
Yeah.
Just for those who are going to be getting a copy on Saturday.
I need to make sure I share the right tab. I don't want nothing inappropriate loading up. Do get all my StreamYard athletic Twitter notes and Canva. So do you want to stop sharing yours and then stick mine on there?
I'll just pop it over the top. Do you want to full screen it? Saves everyone seeing the sidebar there. So there we go.
So using the find feature here just to locate him. Here we go. So TJ Tampa. So this is what you'll kind of see with the player. Give me a little bit more so hopefully people can get a better look. So everything's lovely and colour-coded. So the colours match the score. So you can see there his age, his height, his weight, his arm length, his hand size. You've got his 2023 stats. So, you know, led 25 receptions on 49 targets, gave a pass rating of 54.8, giving up one touchdown with two interceptions, six pass breakups and nine forced incompletions. You then get to see the players' PFF grades here. So you can see his coverage is decent. He's not great at tackling per PFF, and his run defense and pass rush is not too bad. And then we've got combine stats. So the combine stats here, if they don't have this P in the bracket, that means it was the stats taken from the combine. If he's got the P in bracket, that means that it was their pro day performance. We then got strengths and weaknesses from Lance Zierlein, and then where the player has been mocked. So where did we take TJ? Was it 47?
47,
yes. Yes, we took him at 47. Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, it's not applicable because they've only done round one mocks, whereas the other guys have done a couple of extra rounds or a 4-7 rounder. So you can see that Dane and Mel Kiper have him in the 30s, and then Jordan Reed and Matt Miller are one apart with 59 and 60. And then you can see he's Dane Brugler's CB8. And here you can see their relative athletic score. And then a further update that comes next week, we'll be sticking where the prospect ranks in Jordan Reed's top 400.
So there we go. That is.
Is it just me, or does that look so sexy?
It was definitely that hard work. I mean, we've not contributed much.
I mean, I said at the top of the show, I can take very little, if any, credit for it, Holty.
It'll be a fantastic tool to have over draft weekend, to be honest.
Shane, just out of interest,
I'm looking forward to using it.
Yeah.
How many hours do you think we've both sunk into this, trying to get this together?
I think it's more days than hours.
it's a labour of love, isn't it? Labour of love.
Something to build on for next season.
There's been a lot of arm cramp whilst doing this. No dirty thoughts.
You should share the right screen.
Love it. But yeah, that's a draft Bible. And I'm looking forward to using it. I don't know about you guys, but it would be great to have on draft night. And if you want to get yourselves one, how can they get themselves one, Craig?
All you need to do is donate using either the QR code in the bottom right, or if you go onto our X page, the pinned post at the top. And remember, every pound that you donate gets you an entry into the draw to win one of our 10 prizes totaling £400.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Get yourselves a draft Bible. Donate as little or as much as you can to a fantastic cause in Andy's Man Club. All right, so last up then, before we sign off, it's prediction time, because we all love a prediction here on this podcast. It is a two-part prediction, and those watching and listening, we want yours as well. So get involved, whether you're watching live or listening back at a later date. Get involved and let us know your predictions too. Predictions then. You're up first. Who will the Giants pick in the first round of the draft? And will there be a trade back into the first round? Two-part prediction.
Is that for me?
Yes, please.
Who will we pick? The New York Football Giants at number 6. I can see a cheeky trade back, you know, but I won't predict that. But I can see one. We're going to go Roma Dunze, wide receiver, Washington. And will we trade back into the first round? Now, if we still had that earlier second pick, I would say yes, because there's a lot less spots to move. But with 47, were we 39 before? 39, I say yes. With 47, we might have to give up a little bit too much. So I say no, but I definitely think we will trade back from 47.
Interesting. Craig, you're writing all this down, yeah?
Yes, I am. Every word.
Good. Shane, who are we drafting? And are we trading back into the first round?
So I was going to go Roma Dunze, because Why, Kim? He said, why you have to wait an hour and 25? Like, lies, man. I'm never going to believe a word that comes out your mouth in future now when you say you're not going to do something. you know, I would give for Roma Dunze because I fancy the Chargers to take a wide receiver as well. But I'm going to go for my guy. He's been my guy throughout the whole process, and that's Malik Nabers out of LSU. I think he'd be electric. He'd be a stud. I think he'd probably be better than the LSU wide receiver we drafted all them years ago, to be honest with you. I think he can genuinely be that good. I'm so high on Malik Nabers.
Do we have a hot take drop? No, we need to get one.
It's bold predictions, right, isn't it? Bold predictions rather than predictions. Do we trade back in?
I'm just going to go opposite to Kev, so I'm going to say yeah. we just mix it up and get different answers.
Right.
Nice, Craig.
The Giants select Drake May after a trade up with the New England Patriots. And we do not trade back into the first.
What do we give up for him?
Too much.
The house. it's going to be two ones, isn't it? I know it's only three spots, but your premium comes in here, doesn't it? So two ones and a three. I think that's it's probably realistic. How do you put the future?
The future, yeah. We give up the future, yeah.
Dan?
Trading back into the first round, Craig? Or did you go with that?
Trading back into the first round after trading up in the first round? No.
You never know.
Let's give away 2026 picks and 2027 more than that. Let's just go for it.
Joe Shane might work some magic. Malik Nabers for me.
It's a very, very
tight one between him and Roma Dunze. I think they're both fantastic receivers, but for me, I think I would prefer to take Nabers at six. Do we trade back into the first round? No.
Here's one. Stick a pick at six and take Nabers or a Dunze. Then trade from 47 with the Kansas City Chiefs. We give up 47, Darius Slayton, third next year to move back in to take Bo Nix.
You say to the Bills?
Chiefs.
Chiefs, sorry. Chiefs.
They like their speed on the wide receiver, don't they?
They do. Yeah, it's all right. He'll rejoin with Kadarius Toney, won't he?
I don't think we're allowed to mention that name on this podcast anymore.
I mean, it's an interesting question, if you want to call it a question. But I don't know. We just don't have enough to give up to move back into the first, I don't think.
Dan, are you ready to try and pronounce some names with me?
Come on, let's do it.
We've had two.
I'm up for it.
We've had two, unless we have any very, very last-minute ones.
Get him in, quick. What was the first? Is that the first one?
Yep.
Wow. Cedric Van Pran Granger. There we go.
Yeah, so I was just going to go about as common as it came, Cedric Van Pran Granger. Oh. But it's probably going to be Granger or something like that.
It's probably going to be something really fancy, isn't it? I mean, try saying that when you're drunk.
Shane, Kev, can you confirm?
Yeah, Cedric Van Brian Granger.
Granger. It's about as common as it goes. Dan, yeah. This ain't happening, mate. This next one, that's not a real name. I'm not having it.
Oh, yes.
Holti, come on, man. Where are you just making these names up, surely?
I have seen that name in the draft Bible, I think.
All right. Edifuan. I can't help but see the words for show, like for show.
For show.
Edifuan. Ulo for Shio.
Yeah, I was going to go Ulo for Shio.
Yeah, YOLO for Shio.
YOLO.
That's how I pronounce it. But we got two more for you.
Oh, God.
So.
Let's go. Come on.
Oh, shut up. That's not real.
So that's the first one.
Wow.
Oh, God almighty.
Craig, you can have a crack at that one first, mate.
So praise the Lord for this this opportunity. Amawule?
Yeah. Amawule.
Get in.
And then we got one more.
That's just mean.
We'll cut it now. We'll stop it. I'm not even,
These are not made up, by the way. These are all genuine. The last player.
Letu Liga Sanoa. That's the first name is fairly straightforward. Letu Liga Sanoa. Is that anywhere near?
Where's the fashion at the end of that? A woo.
A wooga.
So, first player plays for UTEP. This one plays for Washington, just so in case any guys think I might be just typing some random words together and trying to get Dan and Craig to make fools of themselves.
It seems like you are, mate. You know, I trust that they're genuine names.
Just before we go, Shane or Kev, next year we might have General Booty, which is quite possibly one of the greatest college names ever. Is there anyone in this draft class that's got a name like that, like a good, funny name?
I'm sorry, General Booty, what?
General Booty is one. Obviously, we've got Kool-Aid McKinstry, but...
Stop.
I mean, Chop is Chop.
Chop Robinson, yeah.
His name is obviously not Chop.
Who's the wide... Is it... Ladder tricks. I can't remember the bloody guy's name.
There's a tight end called Colson Yankoff.
Oh yeah, there's a quarterback called Storm Duck.
Stop it. He was at was he at Carolina? Then he transferred to Penn State, and then he transferred out of Penn State.
There's a safety LSU called Major Burns.
I mean, Storm Duck. I mean, this poor guy's like, did his parents hate him or something?
No, Nebraska have got a wide receiver called the Coldest Crawford.
No,
you got Rusty Stats, center out of Texas Tech.
No.
One of my favorites, Louisiana Monroe Warhawks have a wide receiver called Boogie Knight.
Boogie Knight.
I love this. Steve said Kev's putting these names off of Pro Evo. So if anybody who knows, that's a crack of that.
Well, there was a Tank Bigsby last year. Tank Bigsby last year.
Yeah, he was running back, weren't he?
I did see one on the Beast earlier. DJ Irons. I thought that was quite a cool name. Yeah, well, DJ Irons.
Mikel West Ham. You got Mikel Smiley, the edge out of Virginia State.
There's a linebacker in this draft from Ohio State called Steel Chambers.
That's a good one.
Solid.
The last two for me, you've got Tel Spoys, D tackle out of Nebraska. I don't know if Kev mentioned him, I don't know. And then the last one, Steve Wilkins will appreciate this. Justice Dingle.
Dingle. Bullied mercilessly.
These poor guys, honestly. Some interesting names there. But yeah, it's always fun trying to pronounce them.
I've got to find another couple of good ones. Buffalo Bulls wide receiver, Booby Curry. was a Boston, Boston College defensive end. Shitter Salah.
Shut up.
Yeah, there's some names out there.
Wow.
On draft night, you know on the third round where they say, is it in the truck?
Yeah.
Do we have on draft night, can Craig and Dan pronounce this?
Oh, yeah, we have to.
Let's do it.
One player I've just discovered. If the Giants draft him, we have to get him on the podcast. British Brooks. Oh. No, that is a perfect name to have on this podcast.
It's a WWF name, isn't it?
I did see that one earlier, actually. Again, on Dane Brugler's beast, I did see that one. I thought that would be perfect.
Yeah.
We've got to read some of these names out on draft night. That'd be fun, especially after we've had a few. Looking forward to that. All right, yeah. It's time's getting on, so we better shoot off. So that is all we've got time for this evening. Stay tuned to the channel as we'll be back on Sunday evening with a pre-recorded episode as producer Craig was the mediator in a full first round mock draft. That's a full first round mock draft between Shane and Kev. Then the next time we're live will be this time next week on Thursday night in that very room that Kev is sitting in. We'll all be all together live, bringing you 6 hours plus probably of draft night pleasure as we come to you live from Kev's Man Cave next week. Anything else to add before we go, guys?
Just, you know, the draft's 7 days away now. Absolutely stoked to get there. Looking forward to next week. Looking forward to meeting up with you guys in person. And you kind of, you know, we're going to be there for the length of the draft, whether it ends at 4 a.m. or 5:30. You know, we're going to be there regardless. First time we're doing it, so really, really looking forward to it. And also, I just want to give a shout out to people who've been kind of retweeting us. So there's a lot of tweets last week from people, NFL UK, etc., saying, tagging your favourite podcasters or fellow people. And there's quite a lot of guys. I know the two Steves in particular shouted us out a couple of times. And, you know, that means the absolute world to us. Some of the comments you're probably, you know, really kind of, they are really, really appreciated. So thank you to any people that kind of tag us in as, you know, a podcast to follow or your favourite podcast or anything similar to that.
Here, yeah, exactly. Just to reiterate that. 1 week away, fantastic. We're getting there. We're going to talk about every pick that's made, who we want to drop after we make our pick or make our move. We'll talk about that in detail and, we'll, you know, just be a laugh and like watch and just get on the comments. It's just as much sort of like you guys' night as it is ours, to be fair. So we want you involved, watching along with us. And like you said, you know, we'll be in here in the war room, watching on the big screen, telling you our thoughts, but we want to hear your thoughts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We can always add people into the stream, audio or video. It's entirely up to you, whatever you guys want to do. But you can always, in you know, come and join us and give your thoughts on the Giants pick. We're picking early, so there's going to be plenty of time for us to get reaction from people. I'm sure there'll be plenty of ad breaks because, you know, the Americans love those too. So that's a great time to jump on, give your thoughts, and feel free to, you know, join in with the conversation.
Yeah, man, it'd be like a talk sport phone-in, wouldn't it?
yeah, but not as pretentious and not knobs.
Yeah, exactly that. Our name's not Jason Cundy.
Yes.
Just thought as well, because the time we're doing it, we get away with a little bit more stuff that's a bit closer to the bone.
100%, Shane.
What's it called? The
After the watershed.
Bit of blue for lads.
Hey, I mean, funny, if you're old enough to stay up at 2-3 in the morning listening, watching it, you can listen to it as well.
Exactly.
Sorry, Jack.
Works a talk sport.
Well, that's awkward.
Wow. Okay. Just by the way, if we love talk sport, if they ever want to get us on for any segments,
love it. Talk sport. On in the car all the time.
James, is it talk sport too? With is it Nate who still does
with Nat Coombs?
Sorry,
yeah. Nat Coombs. Yeah.
If it's talk sport too, that's fine because we love Nat because we've been on that show. Well, yeah. Shane has.
He's not Jason Cundy, but there we go. Yeah, mega looking forward to it. We can't wait. Get involved. Make sure as well, like, the last thing I want to say is again, I know we've been saying it all night, but if you can donate anything towards the our Andy's Man Club fundraiser, be it 50p, be it a pound, be it £2, be it your pocket money for the week or whatever, we really, really do appreciate it. And you can obviously scan the QR code if you're watching this back. You can get on our X page and the links at the top of the page as well. Donate some money. You'll be entered into a prize draw to win yourself some fantastic prizes. And, you know, we appreciate all the love that you guys have shown, that have donated so far, that you guys have shown towards our fundraiser for Andy's Man Club. We really, really do appreciate it. So keep that money rolling in for a great cause. As I said at the top, you can check out all our social platforms and our merch store by following the links in the description, and give this podcast a like, a share, and so make sure you subscribe to our channel as well. It's been a good one, boys. My thanks as ever go to Craig, to Shane, and to Kev for joining me, to you, the viewers and listeners, for tuning in. We are signing off until draft night. Let's go, Giants.